guys. How do you feel about some of those guys from last year that were young? Have you found that they've been able to step up their game in the camp and be ready for this season?
Yeah, no different, especially on defense. These guys just so – look, first of all, they were young guys. I mean, in, you know, 17, 18. Now they're 1 year more experienced. They got in the weight room, you know, where the game – there's some strong guys that were older. And they just have more confidence. When you get them, the only way you're going to know when they're young, they got to get valuable playing experience on Saturdays. They have that now, and I'm looking big things out of a, you know, a Chad Kuhn, a Dylan Whiteman, a Tim Vernick, a Katie Roberts, you know, those type of guys. You know, now they have that experience, and they're going to be so much better because now they can just react. They don't have to put it together where they have to think then react. They could just react and play fast, be physical. And that experience helps so much.
Let's talk about that starting quarterback position. Obviously, Tanner Gary set some incredible marks last year. You did have a backup return, Andrew Kestner. How did the quarterback situation play out in camp?
We have some good quality quarterbacks on our football team. It came down to Taylor King and Andrew Kestner. And Andrew's a captain of our football team. And he was around last year. He came from a great program. I always like to say West Allegheny. And I think he's just ready. He's a poised guy. He'll give you a little bounce with running and throwing. He'll step up when he needs to. You know, Tanner was a gunslinger. He wasn't running anywhere. This guy could kind of do a combination of both. You know, with Taylor King, he's a big, tall kid, more of a guy that can make all the throws. But I'm excited about Andrew. But it's his first collegiate start, so, you know, the bullets are going to be flying, and I think he'll do a good job with it.
You had a great recruiting process in the offseason, and then we do see that there are a number of transfers that have come in. And one of those that kind of jumps off the sheet at you is the starting running back, Wes Hills. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, Wes came from Delaware. He was a captain for 2 years, and he needed that 10th semester. And he joined us in the fall, and he got named captain. But this is a back that, you know, we've had those little bit shorter, quicker guys. You know, this is a back that's a little bit different. He's going to be a bigger guy that's explosive, that will get downhill, but he also can get outside and he can run. He has that big-time playmaking ability, but I like when it's 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, you know, he'll get downhill, try to run somebody over. And we got to keep him healthy, but he could be very, very special. I hope a lot of people watch out for Wes Hills' name, because I think if he stays healthy, he can do a lot of damage in Division II.
Obviously, some of the guys that we lost, Millie Ray, Marcus Carter, to name a couple. Who's going to take those roles over? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest thing. Guys that really did a great job in camp. I'm excited about Henry Litwin, you know, on the outside with Austin Scott and Carnell Harley. And at the slot, you know, Mr. Mike Murha, Mr. Reliable. He did a great job this past year. You add Dakota Clannigan. And then the two newcomers, Jermaine Wynn from Alderson Broadus, who led that conference in receiving, or was a high receiving guy there, with Eric Glover, came in from Ohio State. So we're going to be more jury, you know, more guys instead of just those three guys. We have a possibility to have 8 receivers that have catches with all the guys we have at the receiver position. We just don't right now have that go-to guy. You know, our 2 go-to guys last year was Millie Ray and Marcus Johnson. We have guys that are all pretty good, I feel.
How about the defensive side of the ball? I know, obviously, replacing Marcus Martin, that's something you just don't do. But it sounds like coming out of the camp, you have a little more depth, especially up front on the D-line.
Our D-line is going to be pretty much the strength of our football team entirely because of so many guys we have. Inside, you got, you know, Tim Suave started last year. We have Jeff Marks, who's the strongest guy on our football team, that transferred from the Naval Academy. And with Wilfer Clark and Zach Bader, you got a 4-man rotation there. In the defensive end spot, Trey Blanford from Indiana State, who started last year. We moved him from inside to outside with Chad Kuhn, who started. And then you got Garrett Debian, who started last year, with Rodez Henderson. So we have 8 guys that could play some minutes for us on the defensive line. And keeping those guys fresh and a hot day, it goes a long ways.
I was up here for your picture day and chatted a little bit with one of the other captains, Tavares Sample, who is a very interesting story, and he'll obviously be leading your backfield a little bit, but he's one of your captains this year.
I'm so proud of that guy. He started out receiver, didn't have a lot of success, didn't even know if he was going to play football anymore. Last year, he moves the position, and he's the hardest worker on the football team. He goes out there, he treats every practice, the same type like Marcus Martin did. He goes hard in everything he does, and I'm just so proud of the success and the man he's becoming. And he's not going to take it for granted, because at the end of the spring game, I just remember, you know, he had a situation with his neck that they had to take him to the hospital. You didn't know, and he ended up being fine with that. But he's just a guy that's been through a lot of adversity, and you really root for guys like that. Now he's our captain. He's just a special young man.
We've talked in the past a lot about Marcus Martin and his work ethic. How much of that do you see a sample like a Tavares sample where they've picked up on that work ethic?
Yeah, I think they have. Now, I'm not comparing anybody to Marcus Martin in terms of ability or anything like that, but they see the way his work to his game was every single day, and I wish more guys would gravitate that. But Tavares has, and I think it really has where it's wore off to on the defensive line. They've seen him work inside and out in individuals, everything he's done, and it's really carried over. And that's a good thing. And Marcus right now is trying to make a team for the Rams right now. He had a sack a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, so we're rooting for him as well. But that work ethic carries over to our football team.
And, of course, the special team's always a key factor, and you mentioned a little bit about that, but you have a guy named Jake Chaplin back, and that's got to be comforting.
Yeah, well, there's no question marks right there. He's doing it all. He's punting. He's kicking off. He's a field goal guy. I'm surprised he's not even being the long snapper. But, no, he got better. He went to Florida all summer. He got better what he's doing. We could put him in any time. I feel he could kick one from 52 in at any time. And that just, even in the punting aspect, gives you so much more consistency, and you feel good about the special teams. And I'm really excited to see some of these return guys, you know, and Jermaine Wynn and Eric Glover return. I think they could be special as well.
You have Kentucky State coming in here to Mahalik-Thompson Stadium today. Obviously, you love playing at home. It's nice to have a home game to kick off your season. But this is a team, yes, you played them last year, but obviously it's an unfamiliar opponent.
Yeah, we don't know what to expect. I mean, they got a lot of new guys on their football team. They're more experienced than anything on the offense side of the ball. I think they have pretty much everybody back on offense, and defense is where they're missing most of their guys. So they got a running back that's very special. He can run the ball, big quarterback, all their receivers, and we don't know what we're going to get ourselves into. I feel it's going to come down to one thing. We got to start fast. You know, we got to be a physical football team, and I challenge our group. I want to see if our offense can run the football and if our defense can stop the run, because we didn't do that good enough last year.
Obviously, you talked about the energy coming out of camp, and the team's going to be fired up to get on the football field and hit somebody else, I'm sure. What are you looking for today outside of a victory? What do you want to see from this team?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, we have a very competitive team. They're going to be fired up. Sometimes we got to calm them down. We have a very outgoing group. So I hope they don't lose their emotions or anything like that. I just want to make sure that we are mentally sharp. We don't make a lot of mental mistakes. We don't turn over the ball. Defensively, we create turnovers. But we play with passion, enthusiasm. And like we say, we want to have that relentless attitude as long as they keep their composure. But I just want to be as much as I can. We're going to make some mistakes, but I want to make sure that we're pretty simple what we do, but we just do it well. We execute, and we're mentally sharp.
Coach Sean Lutz, Slippery Rock University, excited to be back for another year here and carrying it on the Rock Station. And we wish you the best of luck here today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate your time. Go Rock.
Stay tuned for Rock Football. Up next, we'll continue the pregame as Tyler Friel joins me in the booth. Up next on Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At NextTier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, NextTier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to NextTier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
Count on Butler Agway for everything, seeds to feeds. Canning season is in full swing, and they carry everything you need. From spices, pickling, canning jars, pots, including the crocks for sauerkraut. Pet food? They carry a wide array of wholesome feed for all of your animals, including treats, chews, and vitamins. Stop by Butler Agway today, Route 68, right across from the Farm Showgrounds, and see why we say you can count on Butler Agway all the time. Butler Agway.
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, Corks Lane, just behind the Butler Farm Showgrounds. The official supplier of coffee for the Butler Radio Network stations is more than bottled water. They can install water purification systems. They can service your RainSoft water softener or install a new RainSoft unit. They can supply your home, your office, or place of business with water units. They're a one-stop shop. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service with excellent customer service and an array of coffee to choose from for your Keurig coffee makers. They can even supply you with the Keurig or the new Sun Canna units. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service. Call them today.
And here on the Rock Station 97.7, streaming at 977rocks.com as well as rockathletics.com. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Bob Kupp in the booth at Mahalik Thompson Stadium along with Tyler Friel. And we welcome you to Slippery Rock University football for another season. And today they play host to Kentucky State, a team that they faced last year in Kentucky. And this time around, it's the home opener for the 2018 season. Tyler Friel, nice hot summer afternoon for this Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't have the exact feel of a football game, but hey, what the heck, you know, when you play on Labor Day weekend, you could get stuck with some warm, sticky weather, and that's exactly what we have on hand here today. But the sun is shining, and things are looking good as the Rock, like you said, get ready to take on Kentucky State second year in a row.
42-21 was the differential last year. The Rock got off to a great start against Kentucky State for their first game, and that was the debut of Tanner Gary at the helm of the quarterbacking role here at Slippery Rock University. And the senior went on to have a pretty prolific year, put himself near the top of a lot of statistics. And this year we go right back at it again with a brand-new quarterback, although it's somebody that we did see some cameos from last year, and that was Andrew Kestner, who actually, according to Sean Lutz, battled Tanner Gary to the point where they actually felt Kestner may have outplayed Tanner Gary last year, but Tanner had come into the program well before that, and they felt he deserved the shot, and it certainly paid off.
Yeah, it was definitely the right move coming out of the gate, and I think Sean Lutz was proven that he made the right call all throughout the 2017 season. But as you mentioned, Andrew Kestner, this is a guy that comes in with a high pedigree, West Allegheny graduate, and of course, Western PA fans know, if you played at West A, you're playing under the great Bob Palko, whose son Tyler Palko led the charge for the Pitt Panthers. And then you also take a look that he was recruited to St. Francis, where that's a Division I talent, and you know, he had some experience there, never saw the field for a start, but nonetheless was, you know, a part of a program. He comes into the Rock last year, and like you said, even though we saw him for a cup of coffee at different appearances throughout the season, he's now making his first collegiate start, and so the roles have changed, but you know, I think all coaches, as much as you say that, you know, just try to play the game that you're used to playing, I'm sure there's a few butterflies swirling in the stomach of Andrew Kestner today.
Yeah, it's always interesting getting that first start, mm-hmm. and especially when you haven't started in a while.
Yeah. You know, we saw that with Gary.
Yeah, he hadn't played in 5 years, basically. Mm-hmm. But he was able to turn it on very quickly. Well, we are set to go for a new season, and under the direction of head coach Sean Lutz, the Rock, entering the third season under the direction of Sean. It's his 23rd overall season at the Rock. He owns a 15-7 record so far, 7-4 and 8-3 in the past 2 years. And what a great start the Rock had last year, jumping out to the undefeated start, getting as high as number 9 in the polls, and then things kind of flatlined from there. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of youth. I think the youth caught up last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
And I want to say they overachieved, but, you know, you're right. I think we saw that defense continue to get exploited in games they were winning. Sean Lutz, I think the number one takeaway from last year moving into this year is that you do have more experience, especially in the front seven. Now, we'll get to the loss of Marcus Martin and the impact, obviously, that will have on this team. But I look at that linebacking core that we saw last year that was essentially freshman or first-year starters. Now you look at it and you feel a little bit more experience. You've got Tristan McDonald, who we saw make some really nice plays at times last year. They moved Dylan Whiteman into that middle linebacker role. He's now a redshirt sophomore. Timmy Vernick, who was in that middle linebacker spot, obviously Rock fans can remember his older brother, Bobby Vernick. They're going to move him to the outside now, where Sean Lutz said they feel, and you talked about a little bit in the pregame with Coach, they just feel like they have a good core of three linebackers now, and those guys are placed at their areas of strength. So when I look at that linebacking core, granted, still young as you're looking at all sophomores, you know, or redshirt sophomores, but a year of experience under their belt. And so I think this is all things that are going to help the Rock in this first game. I think it's going to be interesting to see how things play out, see how that experience works, and see what the front seven looks like.
Well, when you look at losses from last year, You're looking at quite a few, and namely, obviously, Marcus Martin with his 26.5 tackles for a loss, 15.5 sacks, the most prolific sack artist in the history of Division II football and at many levels of college football as well. But you see the return of Tavares Sample leading the backfield, and he was named a captain in entering camp. Had 86 total tackles. That led the team last year. You mentioned Dylan Whiteman is back. He had 75 total tackles. Tristan McDonald, 10.5 tackles for a loss, 61 tackles on the season. They've got some pretty solid help that is back this year that has that experience of being here for a full year.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at the guys that I think are going to be impact players. They're still relatively young, but nonetheless, I think they are a group of guys that really have the ability to make plays because we saw them do it at times. You have to eliminate the mistakes. Any coach will tell you that. Any football fan will tell you that. Eliminate the mistakes that we saw a lot of. It was the run game that killed the Rock last year. They were able to hold pretty stout defensively through the air. Up the middle is where they need to get the push. They need to own the game in the trenches. And I think we're going to see a few different looks from the Rocks schematically. Nothing too bizarre, but, you know, talking to Coach Lutz, you know, maybe some different third down packages. They may go with a three-man front as opposed to the four-man front. So they're making it a little experimental, but we talk about the experience of this group, albeit it's not a ton, but it's a lot more than they had last year.
Yeah. I spoke with defensive coordinator Dom Rosano in the preseason, and he was pretty pumped up. And he said, you know, you don't want to get too overly excited in the preseason, but he was very, very fired up, especially about the defensive line. We've got a new running back we need to talk about, and we'll do that, and we'll preview the other team, Kentucky State, when we come back to Rock Football in a moment. It's Slippery Rock University football here on The Rock Station 97.7.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
Hey, Ken Frenchak here from the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City. Seems like summer has rushed through, and now it's time to enjoy football on the weekends. Remember, it's also time to make sure your car is ready for the fall. Stop in for an oil change this week. We give you more than just an oil change. We'll check out all your fluids, make sure your lights and wiper blades are in good shape. We're the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash, locally owned, nationally known. We'll get you in and out and on your way.
Is your mop not doing the job? Head over to Slippery Rock True Value for a promised max mop for only $19.99 while supplies last. It has a larger head that flips 180 degrees to clean 2.5 times more surface area without stopping. And the machine washable microfiber pad grabs dirt on hardwood flooring, linoleum, tile, vinyl, marble, stone, and more. Just put your solution of choice in the refillable bottle and start mopping. Take advantage of this bargain of the month and other great cleaning products before they're all gone at Slippery Rock True Value.
We welcome you back to Slippery Rock University football and the Rock opening up today here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium against Kentucky State. Kickoff is set for just about 10 minutes away, 1 o'clock here this afternoon. We welcome you to the broadcast here today on 97.7 FM, 977rocks.com, and also rockathletics.com. In fact, if you zip over to rockathletics.com, you'll not only have an opportunity to hear the game, you'll have an opportunity to see it as well with a live stream. Encourage you to check that out. A production of the Rock Athletic Department and the Athletic Communications Department led by John Holtz, who are, in my book, the best in the nation at any level. Well, we have Kentucky State here. They're led by a pretty well-known coach, John L. Smith, beginning his third season, as is Sean Lutz here at Slippery Rock as the head coach. He has posted a 7-14 overall record. John L. Smith, yeah, that guy, after a long Division I career, being head coach at places like Michigan State, Louisville, Arkansas, Utah State, and Idaho. He has 157 wins in his career, and the most of those are at the Division I level. The Rock, meanwhile, looking to lock up a season-opening win for the 10th consecutive year and their 12th consecutive opener at home as well. So it should be a great day of football here today. It's definitely a hot one. In fact, why don't we get out on the field and see how hot it is as Tyler Friel is down visiting with head coach Sean Lutz, and we'll get some last-minute pregame analysis. Let's go to the field and Tyler Friel.
We're down on the field with head coach Sean Lutz. Coach, game one, do you ever get the feeling that you want to put the pads back on, suit back up again, do a little contact?
I tell you what, I do, but then when I see this opponent here I'm looking at right now, I think I'm glad I'm retired. In my mind, maybe, but nah, I'll be okay just coaching these guys today.
You're taking on Kentucky State, a team you saw last year at their place. You get them at home this time. You're looking across the field right now. They do have some athletes.
Yeah, the thing about them, and, you know, Coach Smith is on his third season as the head football coach. Offensively, they got everybody returning. Their quarterback's a big guy, number four, Paul Campbell. He looks like a defensive end, and they got some skilled guys. Where we got to win the game is up front. We got to win it on our offensive line and defensive line. I think that's got to be the difference of the game going forward today.
You got Andrew Kester as the signal caller today, second-year quarterback for The Rock. What have you seen from him in camp? What are your expectations for him coming into this game?
He's a different type of quarterback compared to Tanner Gary. You know, Tanner was a gunslinger. Andrew does it all. He's a student of the game. He can run it. He can throw it. He does it. He's a good field general. So he's going to be a little different thing that we're used to seeing. So, again, it's first collegiate start. We'll see how he handles the pressure and everything. And hopefully offensively we can really get our tempo going, be fast. Hopefully they'll be on their heels and we get rolling. The key to this game is us starting early. And I think if we start early, we'll be in good shape. But we got to start early with this football team.
Any last-minute injury updates?
You know, no, everybody's pretty healthy right now. We're ready to play football. It's a hot day. It's a beautiful day, but I'm glad it's finally arrived, that's for sure.
All right, good luck, Coach.
Hey, thank you.
All right,
Bob, back up to you.
Thank you, Tyler. Yeah, great job down on the field, and it's definitely a hot one. You can almost see the steam coming off the field today. So hydration and preparation are going to be the key to the game today, but it's going to be a great day. Kentucky State is coming off a 3-8 record last year, and, of course, The Rock doubling them up last year by a 42-21 margin. Rock jumping out to a 28-0 lead last year. So they did exactly what Coach Lutz is saying they need to do this year, last year. And that's jump out to that early lead, control the game. You don't want to let an opponent have any excitement on your home field, that's for sure. Running back is Brett Sylvie, who was one of the top offensive talents on the roster last year. He was an all-conference runner. He averaged just shy of 100 yards per game, rushed for 1,000 and 6 touchdowns. Also, is dangerous out of the backfield, 20 pass catches for 178 yards, and he added almost 800 yards total on the return side. So he had nearly 2,000 all-purpose yards. So that's certainly a name we'll be keeping an eye on. Paul Campbell is back, and he had 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last year at the helm. But we do understand that they are going to play 2 quarterbacks today. Paul Campbell, the big guy, as Sean mentioned, kind of a linebacker in style, 6'3", 230. But they're going with Jules St. G., who's a 6'1", 185-pound sophomore. And understand, he played a bit as a freshman. I guess he was hurt last year, so he did not play and redshirted. And will be making some appearances. In fact, we're being told that he's going to start today. And some of the details coming out of Kentucky State preparation-wise for us has been a little slow, so we'll be anxious to see exactly how this does play out and who is in some of those roles today. Well, we talked about having to mention a young man who has joined Slippery Rock University, and you mentioned Andrew Kestner being a Division I transfer. There are quite a few Rock Division I transfers that are going to be making appearances on this 2018 squad, and namely one of those is the new running back who will be starting, and that's Wes Hills. He's a 6'2", 218-pound senior who comes in after being a 2-time co-captain at the University of Delaware and had been on the NFL draft radar a couple of years ago, went through some injuries in his time and had an extra year of eligibility and decided to come here and test the turf here at Molik Thompson Stadium in the green and white as a Slippery Rock University transfer. We're very excited to have him on board and anxious to see exactly what he will bring to the table when he gets handed the ball from Andrew Kestner. Austin Scott will be the starting wide receiver along with Henry Litwin, and we were told, well, you heard Sean mention that in the pregame, the coaches show that Henry Litwin has had maybe the best camp, arguably, of any of the receivers, and they're very excited to see what he has to offer. Slot will be Dakota Clannigan, also Mike Merhot. There will be a couple of transfers who aren't starting, but are on the backup side. And we'll see Eric Glover-Williams. He transferred in out of Ohio State. Also Jermaine Wynn, who's also going to figure in the return game along with Glover-Williams. Tight end Zach Zarillo's back, the big 6'3", 240-pound redshirt junior. And A.J. Alexander backs him up. A.J. Alexander also a transfer in from Ohio State. And we would be remiss if we did not mention the Seneca Valley product at right tackle, Steve Gaviglia, who's already getting some preseason nods for his work in recent years. So we'll be excited to see him. Austin White is going to be the center this year. Colton Robb is beside Steve Gaviglia at right guard. Chris Larson and Ryan Podgorski will be the line. And we'll see what happens here today as we get set to go. Slippery Rock University football, the team is out, and they are meeting at the midfield to toss the coin. And Tyler Friel's made his way back up. Pretty warm down there, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's not, I'm not in condition yet to be running stairs at this time. But anyways, I'm back. We're ready to roll. Yeah, hey, good conditions. Things were getting a little chippy there as Kentucky State was coming through the tunnel. The Rock kind of awaiting them as they entered. And a war of words, you know, they always say this time, this first game, you've been hitting each other for the entire preseason, entire training camp. You're ready to hit somebody else in another jersey. That opponent appears to be Kentucky State today.
Very, very good. We are seeing the captains out at midfield. Tavares Sample on the defensive side. Andrew Kestner. Also, Steve Gaviglia is out there. Kyle Hall. And we see Wes Hills, who is out there as well, but he's kind of back away from the rest of the clan. I'm not sure what that's all about, but Wes is going to be one of the captains here, and that was voted upon by his teammates, so pretty cool stuff. Looks like Kentucky State has won the toss, and looks like they're going to receive the ball first, so we'll see what happens with Kentucky State. The Thoroughbreds, who come in with white uniforms today, they've got kind of a Oakland Athletics kind of color scheme, if you will, the green and yellow, and of course the Rock in their solid green tops today with white pants, ready to go here as we see the kickoff being handled today by Jake Chapla, who certainly is going to be on the radar of a lot of people. Here's a young man that could be showing up on Sundays.
Yeah, this was a guy, when they brought him in recruiting-wise, it caught my eye because in his senior year at Plum, he was getting a lot of looks from big-time schools because of the power that he had in his leg, his ability to do the kicking and the punting duties. And he's gotten bigger. Like, we've seen him mature mentally and physically at this level. He's got a powerful leg, and this is a guy that is definitely someone that brings in having a great kicker. You know, you listen to coaches say you either want to win championships, great offense, good defense, great kicker, or good offense, great defense, great kicker. Either way, the great kicker's got to be involved in that, and that's what the Rock has in Jake Chapla.
Rhett Sylvie will be back deep. He's standing just inside his 15-yard line. The Rock averaged 40 points per game last year, but also allowed 32. They gained 456 yards per game, but gave up 457. That's something that we want to see change this year. We'll be excited to see how it plays out as we are set to go. Here's the opening kickoff for the Slippery Rock University football season. It's a good boot by Jake Chapla. It hits the back of the end zone, takes one bounce, and is out, and it will be a touchback. So right away, a little bit of a breeze running with the kick from right to left, but he got a good boot into that one, and that shows you the strength of that Jake Chapla leg. And we'll be anxious, too, to see some field goals from Jake. Last year, Coach Sean Lutz was not shy about using him at pretty lengthy positions.
Yeah, I would imagine they're not going to sniff at a 50-yard field goal. I think they feel pretty confident running 99 out there in a situation like that.
Well, here comes the Rock and their defensive front, who are led by Trey Blanford at defensive end, Tim Suave, newcomer Jeff Marks at nose guard, and Chad Kuhn. And we are set to go here as Kentucky State comes to the field, led by their quarterback Jules St. G, and he hands it off. And there's the running back, Brett Sylvie, pushes it to the outside and picks up a short yard on the opening carry of the 2018 football season here at Slippery Rock University.
Whiteman, Dylan Whiteman, middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker in this situation. You can see him barking out orders. He was shifting his four guys up front pre-snap, making sure they were all in order. So you've got a redshirt sophomore taking that leadership role. He's going to be the one that's kind of the quarterback of this defense, the middle linebacker, and he was taking the leadership role early. They were able to hit their gaps hard and bring down Sylvie in the backfield.
So now in the shotgun goes St. G, and he's going to hand it off again, and he held on to the ball. Don't know what happened there. If he felt the Sylvie, the running back, actually that was not Sylvie with the handoff. That was number six, Malik Saunders, and it looked like the connection was not cleanly made there, and he's dropped for a loss.
Still a nice job by the Rock front four, and then you saw Dylan Whiteman coming to the ball, and they were able to bring down the runner in the backfield. So, again, good explosion off the ball by the Rock front seven, and then good reads, especially when you're looking at a zone read handoff. Whiteman was able to get there and bring down the ball carrier.
Almost like St. G was thinking he might tuck that back in, but the running back wasn't having any of it. Here's a trip. He gets away. That's Sylvie. He's off to the races. He's got the first down. A tackle broken across the 50 and down the sideline. And he's going to tuck it in inside the 20, 15. He may run it the whole way. 5, 10, or 10, 5, touchdown. He broke about three tackles there, had a big hole right up the middle, and it looked like it was going to be a first down carry of about 10, 12 yards, and next thing you know, he broke another tackle and went down the sideline. There were at least three missed tackles on that play.
Yeah, I mean, there was room for him to run, obviously, and nice job by the Kentucky State front four or front five, and then you had, believe, in the secondary, Kyle Hall, who was kind of the last line of defense, go for the strip instead of the tackle. I understand trying to go for the ball, but at the same time, you got to bring down the ball carrier. Sylvie is an effective runner. He was able to make guys miss, but there were a lot of missed tackles there for the Rock, and that's going to be one that's going to be a head-scratcher for Lutz and Dom Rosano.
75-yard touchdown run by Brett Sylvie. Well, we told you how dangerous he can be. He proved to be very dangerous there. Here's the extra point try, and it is up and good, and that was just kind of a
I don't know if it got up. I mean, it got about 11 feet in the air.
Wow, that was just barely across the goalpost. But it's 7-0 just like that, three plays into the game. And Kentucky State has shocked that Rock defense. And, boy, that was one of the issues that we saw last year. And you just got to hope that that was one of those flukes.
Run right up the middle. I mean, this was something that we, like you said, saw a lot last year where, for whatever reason, the front four get pushed from, you know, there's a good push from the offensive line that separates movement up front. Linebackers were blocking. Again, the thoroughbreds did a nice job of sealing their guys to create that hole for Sylvie. But again, on a third down and 10, they're going with a run up the middle. That should not be a first down, let alone a big break for a touchdown.
7-0, Kentucky State has taken the lead here, and we are just barely 2.5 minutes into the game here this afternoon. Rock football on the Rock Station 97.7, streaming as well, 977rocks.com, and at rockathletics.com. So certainly not the start that head coach Sean Lutz was looking for here this afternoon, as they wanted to jump out and set the tone. But Kentucky State taking the ball first, and they've jumped on the Rock. Now we'll see what the Rock has to offer as the kick will come their way. And we're going to see a couple of interesting return men for Slippery Rock this year, with Jermaine Wynn Jr., a newcomer in, along with Eric Glover Williams, two transfers who will be playing some slot. They're back deep, but this is going to be a short pooch kick, and it's caught on the run by Jermaine Wynn, as A.J. Alexander looked like he was going to set up shop and receive that, and Wynn just stepped right in front of him, bobbled the ball for a moment, but then pushed forward and is tackled as he goes across the 25 to the 32-yard line, but there is a flag down.
Yeah, not a great idea by Wynn. You saw Alexander camping under that ball to catch it, and so be it. You get 5 yards on the return. That's fine. You can't risk a chance at a fumble, and that's exactly what happened. They're lucky they came away with it.
Yeah. We got a block in the back against the Rocks, so that's going to push it back inside the 25 down to the 22-yard line. So the first penalty of the game is against Slippery Rock.
Yeah, not the greatest start here for the Rock. They allow a big break for a touchdown on the defensive end. There was a miscommunication on special teams, and then you throw in an illegal block in the back. And so Sean Lutz wanted to start fast. They've started fast, but in the wrong direction. Sometimes you want to run, you know, forward, not backwards.
Well, here we go. This will be the debut of Andrew Kester as the starting quarterback. He'll be sidecarred by Wes Hills, big number four. And we're set to go. High snap, pulled down, pitch out to the outside. Here comes Wes Hills, and he's met at the 22-yard line and dropped by Jalen Wesley. The defensive back came up and made the tackle, and that'll be a gain of about a yard and a half.
Yeah, speed option to the left side. That was designed to go to Wes Hills. Give credit to Wesley. He just came up, made the tackle, and when you're working against a body like Wes Hills, you have to get low, and that's exactly what Wesley was able to do.
Same formation with two receivers split to each side for the Rock. Snap pulled down. Now it's at play action. Pull back. Here comes the pressure, and off goes Kester. Dives over the 30 to the 32, 33-yard line, and that'll be good for a first down. The dive got it. We've got an official down in the backfield. The referee got dumped, and he is having some trouble getting up.
Yeah, what happened?
Not sure. But he took a bump.
He was down.
So Andrew Kester, and he showed that dangerous ability he has. As he went play action, the pocket collapsed. He jumped forward and was able to scramble forward to get the first down.
And this is what Kester provides you that maybe last year Tanner Gary didn't, is that athletic ability. And then you also saw him going through the zone read. Okay, you're looking for, again, that run-pass option, the RPO, as the fancy guys call it. And Kester held that ball in there. Wes Hills got for a while, saw the run wasn't there, pulled it back. Then the pocket collapsed, like you said, Bob. He saw it, took off, got a nice game.
First down and 10 for the Rock. And here's a handoff inside. Wes Hills takes a hit, spins forward across the 35 to the 36-yard line. He was met at the line of scrimmage, maybe a yard down, and just spun his way forward for a couple of yards.
But right now, three plays that the Rock have run. They really haven't given much room to run for Wes Hills, and then Kester not enough time to pass. So they are right now losing the battle up front. They got to continue to get a better push.
It was a gain of three. It'll be second and seven. Kester drops back, looks downfield, dumps it off to Hills. He pulls it in at the 39, puts his head down across the 40, near the first down, just shy, though, it looks like. We'll see where they spot it. It looks like he crossed the 42. Nope, they're waving it on. They said he got the 43, and that's a gain of eight.
Love seeing the check down by Kester. Looking down the field, Wes Hills was your last option on that. Nice time in the pocket. Was able to see Wes Hills had a lot of room to run. Don't try to force it deep. Go with the check down, pick up some yards, and you were able to move the chains.
Actually, a gain of seven to the 43 is where they spot it. 11:35 mark, the Rock on the move. Their first drive of the year. They're trailing 7-0. Hand off, no. Play action, and he dumps it off. And this is off to the tight end, Zach Cirillo, and pulled in by Zach as he reaches forward by a yard. It'll be a short game.
Yeah, the redshirt junior out of Hickory High School now having a larger role this year after the exit of Dylan Stapleton, who transferred to James Madison University. And so they're expecting big things from Cirillo as they're looking to incorporate that tight end position a little bit more into the offense.
Austin Scott and Henry Litwin are split wide. Here's a look downfield. Here comes the pressure. Kester's hit, holds on to the ball, then flings it out of bounds. No, it didn't go out of bounds. It's picked off by number 21, Zuriel Rudolph. That ball, I don't know if it was tipped or if he just didn't get it clean off his hand. He was trying to throw it out of bounds, and it didn't get there, and picked off by Kentucky State.
Yeah, Kester doing a nice job of, okay, feeling pressure, tried to throw it away, and it looks like, Bob, it just slipped out of his hands, and then stepping right in front of it was Rudolph. And so, again, just not a bad decision by Kester, just bad execution. He wasn't able to get it out of bounds. That's what you like to see, feeling pressure, throw it away. Just didn't have enough mustard on it.
So Kentucky State in business here, leading 7-0, and they're going to be first and 10 at the 30-yard line in Rock territory. And out comes Jules St. G. Sylvie in the background behind him. And it's a handoff to Sylvie. And he's hit at the line of scrimmage and hit hard after a one-yard gain.
Nice pursuit by the Rock, trying to get the number on the far end. And it looked like Chad Kuhn, the defensive end, came in and was able to drop the hammer on Sylvie just as he got beyond the line of scrimmage. But a nice job of gang tackling. And really, outside of one play, they did a nice job on the first two downs getting to the ball carrier. They did another nice job of that here. They just can't have that big lapse and breakdown up front.
It'll be second down. And here's the snap. It's a high snap pulled down by G. He hands it off to Sylvie, this time across the 29 to the 28, another yard gain. So back-to-back carries of one, and there's laundry on the field. It's holding Kentucky State, and this will be their first penalty of the day, and this will bring it back.
Been impressed by Dylan Whiteman so far. Patience at that middle linebacker spot. He's trying to get a read on Sylvie, which way he's going to go. He's responsible for bringing him down, and he's done a nice job of moving athletically to his left and right, and then attacking upfield, low to the ground, good form tackling, brought down Sylvie. And like you said, there is a holding penalty, so they'll march him back 10 yards. But it's nice to see that. Again, we talked about this linebacking core being a key to this Rock defense. Coming out of the gate, again, one major exception to that. But they've looked good in a few times.
Last year, we remember Kentucky State kind of shooting themselves in the foot early on, too, with mistakes. And now here's one, and it'll push the ball back to the 39-yard line. It'll be a second and 19. Here's the snap, and it's St. G handing off Sylvie inside to the middle, and the defensive line getting the push forward. It's going to be a loss back across the 40 to the 41. That's negative two.
And we've been talking about the linebacking core, but there is a solid front four. You got Tim Suave in the middle alongside Jeff Marks, a redshirt freshman. Those guys are big dudes, and they're trying to get a push to move this offensive line back or at least clog things in the middle, and that's what we saw there.
Great tackle inside that interior. Tim Suave returning this year. He was one of the top tacklers on that Rock team along with Dylan Whiteman. And it'll be a third and very long. Here's the snap again. G pulls it down, handoff inside Sylvie. He's got a hole. He breaks a tackle. He's off to the races again, and it's going to be another long run. 15, 10, skips inside, tackled at the six-yard line. Again, right up the middle, blowing tacklers away, showing some speed and shiftiness is Brett Sylvie.
Two plays when the defense should be off the field. We saw a third down and 10 that obviously went for a touchdown on the last possession. This was a third and 20, handoff right up the gut. And there was another big seam for Sylvie to run. Took advantage of it, and now you look at Kentucky State inside the 10-yard line, right knocking on the doorstep again.
Gain of 35 yards, and it's first and goal for Kentucky State. And you called it. It should have been off the field, but the third play, two series now, has been haunting that Rock defense. Here's the snap. G hands it off. This time it's a new running back in, and that's number 21, Zuriel Rudolph, I believe. Or was that 31? Looks to be 31. Sorry, Tyrone Wilkerson in the game takes the handoff, and he goes nowhere. No gain.
Bizarre to have those plays happen, the two third down collapses, and I'm not sure if it's a different package that the Rock are throwing out there, or maybe they're feeling that the pass is coming, so they've spread out their look, because they've won battles consistently up front in the trenches. They're pushing back this Kentucky State line. They just haven't been able to do it on the key moments.
So it'll be second and goal from the six. G hands it off again to number 31. And that's Tyrone Wilkerson, and he tries to go forward. He does finally, second effort, pushes it to the five-yard line, a gain of one. So far on this drive, you've had a gain of a yard, a loss of two, a gain of zero, and then gain of one. But in between that third play, a gain of 35.
And it's been two big plays. That's why the Rock are in the hole they are. But here we go again, another third down, third and short. Let's see what the Rock go with.
So far today, Kentucky State perfect on third down, two for two, with two big plays. Here's the handoff inside. No, it's a keeper, G, and he's going to roll into the end zone.
Great call.
Touchdown.
Great call. I mean, you know the Rock were going to sell out on that run right up the middle. They had gone Sylvie on the past two third downs that have broken for big yardage. So what does St. Jules do? Play action, or play fake to the running back, just skirt to the outside, no contain, and he walked in untouched.
So now the extra point try out of the hold of number 12, Court Grothaus. The kicker is number 85, who we don't have on the roster. So we'll guess and call him Joe. Here's the snap. And the boot, and he chips it through, gets it up through the uprights this time. That was a good boot. And it is an extra point good. Makes it a 14-0 lead. The Rock trailing by two touchdowns early at the 7-12 mark of the opening quarter. We'll take a 30-second timeout. Come right back to Rock football and the kickoff next on The Rock Station 97.7.
Lutz Automotive is one of the area's most complete auto repair facilities. Mark and Jared do it all. Brakes, alignments, welding and fabricating, muffler work, and state inspections. Lutz Automotive also does transmission work and will rebuild transmissions on site if necessary. You'll always get an honest assessment of your vehicle's repair cost, and Mark and Jared stand by their work. There are a lot of great garages out there, but there's only one Lutz Automotive on Route 8, 1 mile from Branston Road near Slippery Rock.
You're listening to Rock Football, the Rock Station 97.7, and the Rock trailing early in the first quarter here, 14-0, after a Brett Sylvie 75-yard touchdown run on the opening series for the Thoroughbreds of Kentucky State, and then a turnover as Andrew Kester was picked off by Zuriel Rudolph, and Kentucky State had one big play, a 35-yard run set up first and goal, and they ended up punching it in on third down. Jules St. G. plunging in from the quarterback keeper from 3 yards out. 14-0, and we're set to go with the kickoff once again. Here's the boot. Back deep is Jermaine Wynn. He steps back to his 5, pulls it in. Across the 10. 15, skates to the 20, 25, 30. Breaks a hole, 35. And is tackled at about the 36-yard line. A good return of 30 yards there. And it's getting chippy. We've got a fracas breaking out. And some people stepping away.
It always happens on special teams, too.
Yeah.
You get those guys running after each other, hard collisions, and things get a little bit chippy at the end of the play.
Good return, though. Jermaine Wynn Jr., who came to the Rock as a transfer out of Alderson Broaddus. He's actually a Woodland Hills product. So the Rock will take over first and 10 at their own 35-yard line, 7:04 mark of the opening quarter. Once again, Wes Hills in beside Kester, who takes the handoff after a man in motion. Dakota Clannigan comes to the near side, and Hills will gain 2 on the initial carry of this second drive for the Rock. They're down 2 scores.
Just hasn't had much room to run so far. Granted, it's been very short number of plays that the Rock have run offensively, but there hasn't been that open hole where we can see that speed and power Wes Hill provides. But even a run like that, 2 yards, it wasn't a guarantee that he was going to get 2 yards on that play.
Trip receiver is split to the near side. Now here's a sweep play to the outside. Hills, and he just kind of darts and dashes across the 40 to the 43-yard line. A good carry of 6 yards.
Love to see the lateral movement, stretching the play to the outside, a little juke step back to get upfield, and then to use that explosion, the quick turnaround time where you're moving right to left and then heading upfield. That's the athleticism you get with Wes Hills.
Little hesitation move, a la kind of a Le'Veon Bell there. But, boy, you can see the way he glides. That's why they're so excited. Here's a free play, and they're going to throw it downfield. Andrew Kester, and it's caught, pulled in by Henry Lidwin, and he's going to go for a touchdown. Kentucky State was offside, and a perfect read by Andrew Kester. He saw the jump and took advantage of it. Henry Lidwin takes it in from... give him a nice 57-yard touchdown pass.
There you go. And you heard Sean Lutz talk about Henry Lidwin in the when we met with him earlier this week. Said this guy has an athletic ability. Just something about him gives him a feel that he's an explosive player. But we've also heard Sean Lutz talk about the high IQ of Andrew Kester. That's something when the defense jumps off sides, maybe it takes a little bit of time to process. He was able to realize he had one-on-one coverage to the outside, no harm in throwing it deep. So what if they intercepted? It's a free play, well-thrown ball, nice play by Litwin, smart play by Kester.
Lidwin did his job, got just beyond the defender, and Andrew put it in his mitts. Here's the extra point try from Jake Chapla, and it's good, and the Rock has cut the lead to 14-7. What is it about 3 plays so far here today? Third down for Kentucky State has been marvelous for them. They score on 3 plays, and the Rock turns around and answers that one with a 3-play drive of their own. 65 yards and a 57-yard touchdown pass. Andrew Kester to Henry Lidwin, and the Rock is on the board for the first time today. So what a great read by Andrew Kester. And you heard Sean Lutz commenting in that pregame about the student of the game. Now there's a young man that's putting a prime example of that statement to work.
Yeah, that's a perfect read. And Litwin, give him credit, the Conneaut Lake area high school graduate, just working one-on-one, using his speed, and then reeling that in. So you talk about the student of the game mentality from Kester to realize to throw that ball. But there's also the execution of the game. I know to throw the ball there. I can't throw the ball. That's why I'm up here, and that's why he's down there, because he is able to get that ball into the hands of Henry Litwin. So it takes both sides of the coin to be able to put that together and execute a play, and that's exactly what Kester was able to do.
So we've had 4 series so far in this opening quarter. 3 of the 4 have gone for touchdowns. It's 14-7 in favor of the Thoroughbreds of Kentucky State. 5:56 mark of the opening quarter. Bob Cupp and Tyler Friel with you here today. Rock football from Mahalik Thompson Stadium on a Labor Day Saturday, September 1st. And hope you've had the opportunity. Great crowd on hand here today. They have packed to the rafters here on the side. And here's the boot, and it's going to send Sylvie back into his own end zone, and he'll just take a knee. Another strong kick by Jake Chapla, number 99. We'll be featuring a number of the Rock upperclassmen this year on our halftime get-together weekly. As a matter of fact, coming up today, one of the captains, two of the captains, actually, Tavares Sample, will visit with him at halftime, and local product from Seneca Valley, Steve Gaviglia, who's had some preseason accolades handed his way. So we'll talk to one of the offensive linemen, who's also a captain and defensive back, Tavares Sample, who's a great story in his own right, coming in as actually a receiver and working his way into the defensive backfield last year. Here's Jules St. G with the first pass of the day. It's pulled in by Sylvie on a screen, and he goes backward a yard.
Good pursuit by the Rock. It was a slip screen, so the offensive line letting a few defenders get into the backfield. They flip the pass over. Enough green jerseys there to corral Sylvie. Loss of one. So nice fundamental discipline play by the Rock.
So we've had multiple very solid plays by the Rock defense. The unfortunate part is they've let two big ones.
Yeah.
And that's really the difference in the game so far. Now they're going to bring an up back in front of Sylvie. Jules St. G in the backfield along with Malik Saunders now. And it's a handoff to Saunders, and he goes backward again. This is going to be a loss of 2 yards. So the Rock up front getting some great push.
Tristan McDonald in on the action. He's playing the outside linebacker on the right side of this 4-3 defense. Good read, uses his athleticism well. Low to the ground again, fundamental tackling. This is what we've seen so far from the Rock linebacking corps. But, Bob, here we are again, a third down and long. We've seen this story before, and it's been a handoff up the gut both times that have been broken for long runs. Let's see what we get from the Rock defense.
Tristan McDonald, he is making himself known here in this game so far. With that tackle, now there's a high snap, and it's a keeper, and this time St. G goes nowhere. He got dropped at the line of scrimmage, and it'll be forcing a punt for Kentucky State.
Great job by the four men up front to move that line backward. That allowed Dylan Whiteman to get in there, make an easy tackle in the backfield, and so now you got the third down stop. A nice defensive three and out by the Rock defense. You get it back into the hands of this Rock offense, historically able to score quick. We just saw it here after a big touchdown pass by Kester. You get this game back to 14-14, back to square one, and then you can attack for the rest of the game that way.
Turner Warren is the punter, and he stands at about his eight, and he sideways kicks it, and back deep is Eric Glover Williams, takes it on the second bounce and is immediately snowed under. He pulled it in and is dropped immediately at the 37-yard line. That's where Slippery Rock will start out offensively at the 3:44 mark of this opening quarter, and they're trailing by 7. It is 14-7 in favor of Kentucky State.
Would like to see, and granted the offensive possessions have been few so far for Slippery Rock, I would like to see what Kester can do through the air. We've seen some of those staple routes of this Rock offense, whether it's a five and in, a slant route, or a five and out. Those have just been go-to plays that Slippery Rock has had in their playbook for quite some time, and we really haven't seen Kester go to that. Granted, one big play for a long touchdown, taking advantage of an offside, but I also think they're just trying to see what they have with Wes Hills.
And I believe we have Jakar Berry in the game now. He'll take the handoff, swings to the outside, waits for a block, and goes up the backside of one of his offensive linemen, and that being number 68, Colton Robb, the local Slippery Rock product, and a short gain of a yard. Tried to sweep it to the outside, and the containment was done well by Kentucky State.
Just haven't been able to find much room to run, whether it's up the gut with Wes Hills. They've now tried to extend it to the outside with Jakar Berry. Give Kentucky State credit. They're getting to the ball well.
Kester in the shotgun. Sidecar Berry to the right. He drops back. Jumping around, and he walks right into a sack. Number 44, Vega Dennis, defensive lineman, was there. And as soon as Andrews stepped up, I think if he skates to the outside a little bit, he's okay. But when he stepped up into the pocket, 44 was right there.
Yeah, to me, Bob, that's an experience play that as Kester continues to grow throughout the season, he'll know you've got to wait in that pocket and the internal clock will start going 1 second, 2 second, 3 second. All right, I don't have much time. That pocket's going to collapse. So he tried to step up and he was met by Kentucky State. I think as he plays a little bit more, he'll know to throw that away.
Third and nine. Here's a throw downfield. Oh, just over the head of number nine, Jermaine Wynn Jr. Jermaine Wynn Jr., one of the transfers that we talked about from Alderson Broaddus. Jermaine is 5 foot nine, 175 pounds, and he threw that one just about 6 foot three.
Yeah, open guy. That's a throw you really like to have because the seam route was there. He had an opportunity to pick up some big yards and just sailed it a little bit. We've seen him have the ability to make that throw. You just, you know, again, hope he's going to be able to connect on those.
Jake Chapla, the kicker, he will punt as well, and he stands at his 23. Kicks it high, and that's going to allow the ball to hit about the 30 and bounce, take a big 10-yard bounce. It's rolling down to the 15, and that's where the Rock will touch it. Brett Sylvie had no chance to get that one. Beautifully high kicked ball by Jake Chapla, and Kentucky State will take over first and 10 at the 2 minute mark of the opening quarter, and they're up by a touchdown. So we've slowed the progression of scoring and now back to back punts.
Don't know what to do. Normally someone's in the end zone after about 2 minutes here, but we've had a little bit more of a relaxed offensive game. Offensively for the Rock, again, it all gets back to the run, and this was something that Sean Lutz was trying to emphasize in the offseason, and obviously the addition of Wes Hills was a big part of getting back to the run game that we harken back to the years of Shamar Green. They are trying to establish a run, which then in turn opens up the pass.
Here's Brett Sylvie taking the handoff from Jules St. Jean. He avoids a tackle, goes up and gets tackled by his own man. And leading that tackle was Tavares Sample, who was there and just kind of pushing one of the linemen back in front of Sylvie. So it was kind of a help. I can't get out of the road situation,
yeah.
but it does go for 1 yard forward by Brett Sylvie.
Give Trey Blanford credit to the left defensive end. He was able to hang on enough to force Sylvie to the outside a little bit more, which bought the Rock defense some extra time to then go in and corral Sylvie. So even though Blanford not in on the tackle, he did enough to just kick Sylvie out a little bit.
Sylvie from Hammond, Louisiana, while the quarterback, St. G, is from Lakeland, Florida. And here's a handoff, and he scoots it to the outside. No, that's a keeper by Jules St. G, and he's off to the races. Down the sideline, and he's going to be shoved out. No, he did get shoved out of bounds. He beat him, and he's going to take it inside the 10. Another long run on a keeper by the quarterback.
Bad angle, Dylan Whiteman coming in to try to bring down St. G, and he just pursued at the wrong angle, and so St. G turns. He's an athlete, baby. He can turn on the burners, and he was able to get by Whiteman, and then we saw some poor tackling in the secondary, which has been a hallmark of these big runs from Kentucky State. No one in the secondary bringing down the running backs or St. G in this particular instance, and another big run by Kentucky State has them knocking on the doorstep yet again.
Well, he had us fooled as he kept it. It looked like he was going to hand it off for a sweep play for Sylva. Pulled it down and took off, and nobody gathered him up until that missed tackle at about the 50. He takes it for 77 yards. Now here's a handoff inside to number 31. That, again, is Tyrone Wilkerson, and he goes for no gain on that one.
It's very bizarre watching this because they're winning most battles by a large margin up front. I mean, they're getting into the backfield and bringing down Sylvie or whoever the running back is. It's been on a few different instances that they've just been able to break big plays. You really don't see that. Normally you just see a team pound the ball and get 5 yards per carry. Kentucky State hasn't done that.
Now here's a handoff outside, and this is going to go for about a yard, maybe two, down to the 5 yard line by Wilkerson, and it'll be third down.
And it looks like that'll be the end of the quarter as well, as one of the Rock defenders are slow to their feet. It looks like it was Tim Vernick. So I'm sure the trainers will check on him, but we're going to have to switch sides of the field, Bob.
Number 45 back to his feet now, slow to get up, though. And, yeah, well, we'll let the clock run out, and that's the end of the first quarter with Kentucky State knocking on the door, and they've got a 7-point lead. It's 14-7 in favor of Kentucky State. They're leading the Rock. As you listen to Rock Football, we'll be back with the second quarter in a moment on the Rock Station 97.7.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
McAvoy's Auto Body and Service in Slippery Rock is a veteran-owned and operated auto body and repair facility with state-of-the-art diagnostics, a certified suspension specialist, and a master technician with over 35 years of experience. They specialize in rust repair, including inners, outers, and cab corners. McAvoy's offers military, fire, EMS, and law enforcement discounts, too. So if you're looking to get a great deal and great service, look no further. McAvoy's Auto Body and Service, half mile south of the Old Stone House on Route 8, 724-967-6860.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
Count on Butler Agway for everything, seeds to feeds. Canning season is in full swing, and they carry everything you need, from spices, pickling, canning jars, pots, including the crocks for sauerkraut. Pet food? They carry a wide array of wholesome feed for all of your animals, including treats, chews, and vitamins. Stop by Butler Agway today, Route 68, right across from the farm showgrounds, and see why we say you can count on Butler Agway all the time. Butler Agway.
And we're back here, set for second quarter action. It is third and goal from the five-yard line. And here's a play action. St. G keeps it, and he's pushed backward, and he's not tackled. Now he's going to pull it up. Now he's going to pull it back down and run in for the touchdown. Should have been sacked at about the 14-yard line. Instead, he runs it in for the touchdown.
It's a tackling problem, Bob. When we've looked at when Kentucky State is making big plays, when they're getting into the end zone, just can't bring him down. You had one, two, three Rock defenders there. You had Sample tripping on the way there. And that just gave St. Guy enough room to change direction and get into the end zone. You have an opportunity to bring these guys down. You have to do it.
Wow. It is 20-7 in favor of Kentucky State. And that first quarter, they had 193 total yards, 187 on three plays.
It's amazing.
So the Rock basically held them to 6 yards on 13 other plays. Here's the extra point try. That is up, and it is good. And Kentucky State has taken a shocking 21-7 lead to open up the second quarter here at Slippery Rock University. Brett Sylvie, courtesy of that 75-yard run, already has 100 yards on the day. 5 carries for 110 yards. Just gouging the Rock defense right now. And Jules St. G is 1 of 1 for negative yardage on passing, yet he now has 4 carries for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns.
You look at a 75-yard, 2 runs of 75-plus yards. Brett Sylvie's early in the game. Jules St. G to get them in this position. And it's a tackling issue, angles and different things like that. What's tough about college football, and then I think, you know, the way football is played anymore, tackling and hitting and training camp, coaches kind of go back and forth on it. Okay, you know, if we hit a ton, I'm going to bang up my guys and we're going to be limping into week one. We don't want to do that. But at the same time, if you're not getting that physical contact, if you're not hitting guys the repetition that you may need to, by the time you get to game speed, it's a little bit tougher to get adjusted to that. And we've seen that happen to Kentucky State at different times as well, but it's been glaring mistakes at tackling by the Rock that have put them in this 14-point hole.
And you have linebackers coach Mark Hall gathering his linebackers and really giving them a bark session right now. And it's just, it's probably saying, hey, you've got to play smarter and you've got to tackle. And here's another big boot, this time carried back into the end zone. And back deep for that, for Slippery Rock, is Eric Glover-Williams, and he has no choice but to take a knee. And that one, boy, that win, it looks deceiving right now. I'm looking at the flag, which, by the way, they do have at half-staff in honor of the late Senator John McCain here at Slippery Rock University, honoring the gentleman from Arizona. But it is a pretty stiff breeze here right
now.
Yeah,
it's a stiff breeze right to left, as you know, we're seeing it here from the press box. And so you definitely have a big advantage kicking it into that direction. Now the Rock will be going against the wind in this particular case. But this is a big offensive series for a number of reasons. Obviously, you want to get points on the board to cut this game. But I'd like to see the Rock put together a defining drive running the ball and passing.
Big Wes Hills in the background again, and it's a handoff, and he dives up over the right tackle spot and gets a good, solid 8-yard carry.
Boy, you can see the speed and power Wes Hill has on runs like that, just attacking the hole and even a little bit of hurdle. You don't see athletes like that all too often. It stands out.
Here's the second down carry, and it's Hills, and he's got the first down, puts his head down, ooh, right at the first down marker. That was a hard hit from both sides, but he's right at the marker, and they do wave it on first down.
Give the Kentucky State defender, it was Zuriel Rudolph, who went in, and they went lowered the shoulders on each other. It was physical contact. They got up afterwards, patted each other on the head, go, hey, that's a good football play right there. And so, boom, like that, first down.
Here's now a delayed handoff, and spinning forward is Hills. The initial contact was actually in the backfield. Looked like it could have been a loss of one, but Wes spins forward and climbs that hill to the 38-yard line.
Offensive line has to get a better push. This is an interior runner. Wes Hills can be. He can bounce it to the outside as well. But with a guy with his power, you'd love to have the ability to just roll off to the right of the guard or the center and mark it in the interior. They just haven't had room to run.
Here's the second and seven, and it's play action. Kester throws it downfield. It's going to be right into the mitts of number six, Austin Scott. What a catch. It looked like the ball was going to float short and somehow just kept floating downfield right into the hands of number six. What a great catch by Austin Scott.
Great time in the pocket. Kentucky State sends four. They find one-on-one coverage over top. How that stuck in the hands of Austin Scott, I have no idea. Full extension, he was able to bring that in. And now the Rock inside the red zone.
Down to the 15-yard line, first and 10, and they're quickly at the line. They're moving up. A little hurry up, and an inside play, and a hold by Kentucky State on Dakota Clanigan, and here comes the flag. He was draped on him.
And he had good coverage. If he was able to just stay with him and not throw that right arm around Clanigan, he would. Or was it Clanigan or Litwin? I missed whoever it was.
It was Clanigan.
Clanigan? The defender on that, Hakeem Adimpe. If he would have been able to just kind of stay in his position as opposed to putting that right arm out there, it was actually solid coverage, but he just made the last-minute mistake of trying, I don't want to say trying too hard, but trying to do too much.
So that'll push it into the first and goal scenario now as the ball is down to the 5-yard line after the penalty. And here is Wes Hills sweeping it to the outside, and he's hit, knocks off a tackle, gets down to the 2. Maybe they're going to say his knee went down actually at the 4-yard line.
Ken just got to get a little bit more of a push. It's a stalemate up front right now, not giving Wes Hills much room to run. If you give him a little bit of daylight with his speed and power, he's going to go. You just have to give him that room to run.
And this is a new defensive line. They lost, as far as Kentucky State goes, they lost a large core of their defensive line. This defensive line is showing some impressive speed.
And they look good,
too.
Yeah. Yep.
So now it is a second and goal from the 4. Here is number 4, and he powers forward for a yard down. They're going to keep him at the 4-yard line, so it's no gain. Looked like he was powering forward, but it was right on top of the back of one of the linemen, and apparently he didn't get any forward progress.
And Justin Roper, the offensive coordinator for the Rock, going, all right, let's put two more backs in the backfield and see if we can hit a few of these linebackers and give Wes Hills room to run. Didn't happen there. Give Kentucky State credit. They've been holding that line.
So it is a third and goal. In motion comes Litwin to the near side, the Rock sideline. And here is play action. And avoiding a sack is Kester. He's got room to run. Dives in. Fumbles the ball. It's picked up by Kentucky State. He was going into the end zone and got hit and lost the ball at the 1-yard line. Wow.
In an attempt to look like John Elway trying to dive and leap into the end zone, a Kentucky State defender, I believe, was able to get his helmet on the ball, and that's exactly what happened. And as Kester was coming to the ground, it went loose and rolled a little bit. And so a huge turnover for the Rock there as you were right on the doorstep. Second turnover of the game for the Rock, and that one hurts.
Yeah, because now you don't get that response that you needed, and especially I think you needed to get a response in particular for your defense to pick them up. And so instead of at least being at the one-yard line or maybe in for the score, Andrew Kester fumbles, and now Kentucky State will take over first and 10 at their own 15-yard line. And it is St. Jean trying to get the number.
This one
looks
like
Paul
Campbell's
in the backfield now. And he
fumbled it, and it's grabbed by the Rock.
I believe Slippery Rock fell on the ball. And no motion yet. Now we've got a flag coming in.
I think we got the head judge saying it was second down, so it looks like Kentucky State was able to get the ball back.
He must have had a knee down. Boy, it looked like that ball came loose before the completion of the tackle. But they say no, he was down and no gain. And unfortunately, the Rock doesn't get it back. Now we've got a personal foul against Slippery Rock. So
late
now
hit.
They're going to and that's a tough one. Boy, a late hit, that's a tough one.
I think it happened away from the ball.
So now that's going to move Kentucky State all the way out to the, 30-yard line.
Yeah.
Wow. Big penalty by the Rock on a late hit. So, boy, things just not going the green and white way right now.
Paul Campbell's a big dude.
Yes, he is.
And this is Jules St. Guy back in there, but Paul Campbell stands out. That guy could be a defensive end.
6'3".
They have him a quarterback.
Yes, 6'3", 230-pound senior out of Birmingham, Alabama. St. Guy is back in, and he throws a dump off to Sylvie, and he catches it, and he's got a first down out across the 40 to the 42-yard line, and that was not Sylvie. That was number 6, Malik Saunders, with the catch, and that was just the second completed pass of the day by Jules St. Guy, but it goes for big yardage.
Like that call, when you're running the ball effectively in terms of these long runs up the middle of the Rock, it just naturally, teams are going to tend to try to clog that area, and so a little play action sends St. Guy out on just a little bit of a roll route, little check down, and boom, you pop open another big gain, and about 14 yards there or so?
13, to be exact. So it's first down near midfield for Kentucky State. They're up 21-7 here in the second quarter. And it is St. Guy again, and he hands it off this time inside. No go for Brett Sylvie. This one's going to go back 3 yards to the 40-yard line.
A little bit of cross pressure by the Rock. They sent Chad Kuhn on the right side. They moved him to attack really what was the guard area, and I think that created enough confusion and a good explosion by Kuhn to get into the backfield and stymie that play early.
And that is, the fourth negative play of the day for the Rock defense against Kentucky State, but they've been burnt by some big plays that they have allowed. So it'll be second and 13 here. Looks like, is that Campbell back in?
That's St. Guy still.
St. Guy still.
He's a big guy, too.
He is solid. There's a high snap.
No, that's
down.
Campbell. You're right,
yep,
Bob.
Paul Campbell's in, and he's hit in the backfield again. Brought down in the backfield by Dylan Whiteman.
And we've seen Whiteman make some plays in this game, especially when it comes to the running back. He has an explosiveness, really like his form tackling, does a nice job of breaking down, has athleticism, playing that Mike linebacker position. And so we've seen him make some plays, but also we've seen those, you know, big burns up the middle. And so, again, even though this group of linebackers more experienced than last year, there's still sophomores and redshirt sophomores.
It was a loss of 5 yards on that play, back-to-back negative yardage for Kentucky State. And they're back near their 35-yard line. And here's a handoff to number 31, who's back in the game now. And he kicks to the outside after another missed tackle. Pushes it back across the original line of scrimmage, does Tyrone Wilkerson. And he gains back some lost yardage, plus one.
Not the original intent for that run to go through the gap that it did, but there was plenty of room to run for Wilkerson, you know, and again, just not tackling, not getting to the ball, some third down mishaps. You just don't want to see guys going on runs on third down for 10 yards.
He gained 8. Now, it's still a punting situation, so the Rock going to get the ball back here. And here comes the kick back deep for the Rock. is number 19, Eric Glover-Williams, and he escapes a tackle, then is hit by number 44, who's been pretty solid today for Kentucky State, and number 44 being Vega David Dennis, and he's brought down inside the 15 to the 14-yard line, so that'll be a no gain on the return.
So you're hoping here for, you got another stop defensively by the Rock defense, and you're really hoping the offense can put something together again. 7 points so far, and that came on a offsides deep ball. And they've had some big plays. Again, I just would like to see that run-defining drive that we saw a few years ago, and we saw at times even last year. Handoff, boom, 3-4 yards, 5 yards, back to the handoff, slant patterns, just quick, efficient offense. This offense hasn't been running entirely fast like I think Lutz wanted it to.
Starting at the 14 is the Rock, their fifth series of the day, and Andrew Kestner is in the shotgun. And we see Carnell Harley on the outside, and a low pass scooped up from the ground by Jermaine Wynn Jr., and they say it's an incomplete pass.
Got to get it there. It's a seam route, or not a seam route, a screen pattern. You got to get it to the guy. I mean, it's just got to hit him in the numbers. I know you're throwing across the field, but that's a pass you got to have.
Yeah, not a well-thrown ball by Andrew Kestner, that's for sure. He had a guy wide open and would have went for positive yardage, but now it's second and 10. Wes Hills will be the sidecar right. And double receiver split to each side for Slippery Rock. They're moving left to right on your radio dial. Here's Kestner, has time, looks around, nothing there. He's sacked, dropped at the 10-yard line.
Just not a lot of time to make a decision. I mean, Kestner in the book listed at 6'4", may be a little generous because from this angle, Bob, I don't know if you can notice it, the Kentucky State front four, tall and big guys. I mean, these are some big dudes, and so when their hands go up or, you know, you're causing some havoc up front, it's making it difficult.
Here's the third down play, flag on the field. Now Kestner is going to run forward and be brought down at the line of scrimmage. Let's see what the flag
is. I think we're
going to
get
all about
sides here. I think the right defensive end for the Thoroughbreds jumped early.
Well, we're going to need this break, that's for sure, as Kestner was sacked, trying to scramble out of the pocket. It is an offsides. Kentucky State, so a big break for the Rock. And they'll repeat third down, get another shot at, trying to move forward here. They trail 21-7 as Kentucky State has shocked the Rock here. Two turnovers and three huge plays for Kentucky State, and that's the difference in the game right now.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just been big plays that have resulted in scores. There still hasn't been a drive by either team that has just been dominating yet.
Here's Kestner on third down, drops back, has time, throws downfield. He wants Jermaine Wynn. Ooh. He goes up and is separated from the ball. Good defensive play that time. Looked like he was going to pull it down, and a second defensive back came in and hit. No, I'm sorry, that was not Wynn. That was Eric Glover-Williams, and he just could not hold on. He went up on the play to make the catch, just couldn't squeeze it.
Yeah, Kestner not leaving his wide receiver out to dry, but when you're throwing it across the middle of the field and you're throwing some height on it, you better hope there's not another defensive back coming after you. And that was exactly where Hakeem Adimpe was. He came in and finished off the play, which eliminated any chance of a completed pass.
So now the Rock will have to punt, and it'll be Jake Chaplis standing at his goal line. Sylvie, the return man, standing at his own 45. It's going to be great field position for
delay
Kentucky
game.
State. And now the Rock going to take a delay of game? Or is it a timeout? Nope, it's delay of game against Slippery Rock. And that'll move him back even deeper. So now Jake Chaplow will stand in the middle of his own end zone. So you're going to see Brett Sylvie, the return man, move up to about his 50-yard line. Boy, the food is on the table for the Thoroughbreds.
Absolutely.
Right now. 7:25 mark of the second quarter. It is 21-7 in favor of the Thoroughbreds. Here's the kick by Chaplin. It's kind of a low-angling kick. Takes a great bounce, and now is scooped up by Sylvie at his 40. He's across the 50, spins across into Rock territory, and dropped at about the 47-yard line. So the ball took a kick, and it was going to kick into the Thoroughbred area, but Sylvie did the right thing, grabbed it,
yeah.
Got it going forward, and now Kentucky State will start in Rock territory.
Had a running start at it, and so he was just able to scoop it up and move. And when you get Sylvie with a running start, it's pretty dangerous. So they were lucky just to, you know, he didn't get all that much on that particular return. I thought there was an illegal block in the back, but apparently I was seeing things.
So here comes Jules St. G, bringing his team back out, and he'll be joined by number 31, Tyrone Wilkerson, in the backfield. First and 10, Thoroughbreds. Here's the snap, and it's play action, and a throw to the near side, caught, and that's going to go for first down yardage of 10 yards, caught by Demetrius Anderson, the wideout. And nope, they say he's short of the first down by a yard. It's a gain of 9.
Just goes to show what the run game can do for your offense. It wasn't anything crazy in terms of a passing game, but it was just a screen play to the left side. They had one-on-one coverage, and since they have been successful with the run, breaking off these big plays, the Rock are willing to go one-on-one on the outside, and that was the situation Kentucky State wanted.
Now they'll split trip receivers to the top side as Kentucky State is moving right to left. The top side being the Kentucky State sideline. And a high snap pulled down and kept by G. And he's got a first down, and he's going to run for a touchdown. Nobody will catch him. And that's going to be a run. Up, he gets pushed out of bounds, I should say, at the one-yard line. Did he get in? I don't think he did. Boy, I didn't think anybody was going to catch him. And somebody looked like number 22 for the
Rock
Show.
Looked like Dalton Holt, who was able to chase him down.
He showed some great closing speed there. Yeah. I thought there was no prayer of getting him. St. G, though, shoved out of bounds at the one-yard line. It'll be a gain of 37 yards.
And again, this was just a simple fake to the handoff up the middle. St. G takes it to the outside, and no one was there. Contain had collapsed, and he was off to the races. And with the speed and athleticism St. G has, it was a miracle he didn't get into the end zone.
Now they'll spell him with Paul Campbell, the big quarterback who'll go in up under center at the one-yard line, and he'll try to push forward and get into the end zone.
No.
He did not get there. He got down to about the 3-foot line.
It takes a lot for him not to get into the end zone. He is a big guy, as we mentioned before, and they threw some big bodies behind him, too, to try to push that pile. But a nice job by the Rock front four to stop that. I should say, you know, the entire Rock defense. They kind of knew what was coming.
And Kentucky State here, 5:36 mark of the second quarter, attempting to try to get into the end zone to take a commanding three-score lead. And here's the handoff. Nope, it's a keeper again, and he didn't get in. They keep stacking him up inside, and Campbell's not able to squeeze in, no gain.
Rock coaches are saying there was a fumble on the play, but the officials didn't see anything of that nature. But again, an opportunity to keep them out of the end zone. You live to fight another day, and if you could hold them to a field goal somehow on this, Bob, it would be impressive. My guess, though, John L. Smith, the head coach for Kentucky State, knows on the road at the one-yard line, this is two-down territory.
Yeah, you're going to be trying to pump it in. Now they're going to bring St. G back in and spell Campbell at quarterback, and in the backfield is Wilkerson behind him. Herb, check that. It is Sylvie back in. Sylvie takes the handoff, gets stacked up, now skates into the end zone for the touchdown. Second effort that time as the Rocks stacked up the goal line, but patience by Sylvie, and he punches it in from 1 yard out, and it is now 27-7 in favor of Kentucky State.
Wow. I mean, it's just been big play after big play after big play for Kentucky State. Simple plays, too. It's not like they're getting extremely creative. It's been as a Rock defender is down on the far sideline there, on the far side of the field, I should say. But it's just been big plays to the outside, and it's been very difficult for the Rock to tackle, and it's just been a very rough go of it for the Rock defense entirely.
It looks like it might be Tim Vernick again.
Mm-hmm.
He was shaken up early in the game and is now up walking under his own power, but he's taken a beating here today. You got to hope maybe it's just weather-related because it's so warm down there. But Tim's walking off under his own power. So the extra point try to come after Brett Sylvie scores for the second time today from 1 yard out this time. And the Rock in deep trouble right now late in this second quarter. And their offense has just found no ability to move the ball in recent scenarios outside of one big play that pass play to Austin Scott for 47 yards. It's been about the only positive momentum since the big touchdown pass early in that first quarter. Here's the extra point try. It's up and it is good. And it is now 28-7 in favor of Kentucky State. We'll be back with the kickoff after this 30-second timeout. Rock football on the Rock Station 97.7.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
We are back here at the 441 mark of the second quarter in Slippery Rock in a bind. They are trailing now 28-7 to the Thoroughbreds of Kentucky State. And you can just see almost to a man, hands on hips and a look of dejection right now from this Rock team. They've really got to find a way to kind of get that energy back up here. You know, you still have over a half to play.
You wonder if you go back to last year when the Rock went down to Kentucky State and dominated them in the fashion that they did. I'm not saying that they had the expectation level that they would see the same Kentucky State team, but keep in mind, there's a reason guys coach at the Division I level. John L. Smith is able to get a team and recruits together that are going to make a pretty good football team.
Here comes the kickoff, and it is caught by Jermaine Wynn at the one-yard line, and he brings it out across the 21 to the 22. So he'll pick up 21 on the return, and a decent return, like what we're seeing out of Jermaine Wynn Jr. so far.
Yeah, looks like he has the ability to make the big play, and that's what the Rock have lacked here. I shouldn't say they've lacked it because it's worked twice. They've had the touchdown, the long touchdown, and then the big play across the middle of the field, but they haven't been able to get consistency from the offense. No, there's no pace to it, Bob. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we've seen the Rock offense move quick, fast. They haven't been able to do it today.
Andrew Kester, 5 of 9 for 113 yards. Now here's a screen pass to the outside, and Mike Marhaat is there, catches it, drops it as he was immediately hit. That play just took a split second too long to develop and didn't give Marhaat time to reel the ball in. It's incomplete.
Kentucky State feeling very comfortable to bring pressure as well. We saw coming off the right side there was Matthew Bizimana, and gave a little pressure right in the face of Andrew Kester, forced an early throw, and Kester just didn't have time.
Make no question about it, this team, Kentucky State, has some impressive speed. Now here's a handoff, and it's Wes Hills going into the pile, and he'll get across the 25 to the 26, and he'll pick up 4 on that carry for Wes Hills.
And like this particular instance right now, used to see on the third downs how quick the Rock would be to the line, knew the calls, knew what the plays were going to be. They just don't seem to be clicking right now.
So now you've got a 3rd and 6 at the 4-minute mark of the second quarter. Here's Kester, high snap, pulls it down, looks, pumps, throws across the middle, caught and dropped by Mike Marhaat. He turned before he reeled it in. He was too anxious. That would have been a simple first down play, and that's one you have to make.
Yep.
But he turned and looked upfield before he reeled it in. It's incomplete.
Nice toss by Kester Marhaat, the longtime veteran for this Rock team, now in his junior year. Plays that slot receiver position well. Obviously, he's been used to getting well-thrown balls to him. Ben DiNucci was his high school quarterback at Pine Richland, and he's seen some nice Rock quarterbacks come through here. Like he said, just looked upfield before he caught it. And once you're at that first down marker, let's secure it, and then we'll worry about the next play and yards after catch after that.
And a classic case there of a team down by 21 and the players feeling it, trying to get 3 touchdowns mm-hmm. back on one play.
Yep.
And you've just got to kind of regain your composure here. Here's the kick by Jake Chapla, the punt, and it takes a nice roll, skips about the 40 and crosses the 35 down in the vicinity. Let's see where they spot it, 35. 30-yard line, it's right at the 30. So a decent punt again by Jake Chapla.
So when you've had big plays by the Kentucky State offense, this is the time where somebody on defense has to step up and be that playmaker. Who's going to step up out of this squad to come away with an interception, to force a fumble, to get a sack in the backfield? You've got to tap into that next level, because when you're down 21 points, your back is against the wall, and you know defense has to step up right now, and I'm sure that message has been uttered to these guys, and they know it internally what they need to do.
Well, here we go with Jules St. G. and Brett Sylvia in the backfield, and here's a big hit for a negative yardage three Rock defenders right there to stuff Sylvie for a two-yard loss.
And that's what you want to see. You want to see green jerseys flocking to the ball. Now, what you want to see as well is to make sure there's contain on the outside, that those guys need to make sure that ball is up through the middle so Sankey isn't rolling one out to the right side.
Six plays of negative yardage for the Rock
that's
defense
what I mean.
Today, but they're losing by 21.
It's bizarre because Kentucky State hasn't put together that drive, you know, that signature drive. It's just been big plays that have killed the Rock.
And if I'm not mistaken, I know it's two, maybe three tackles for a loss for Dylan Whiteman now. High snap pulled down by St. Jean. He does a good job getting the ball handed off to Sylvie, who goes back to the original line of scrimmage plus one. He'll pick up four.
Right here, you have to know it. This is your third down. This is the opportunity to put your stamp on this game and say, you know what, we'll get the ball back in our offense's hands. We'll cut this to a 14-point game, and we'll worry about the second half. Right now, this is the third down. You have to check in. Gut check time, go out and make a play.
Well, the difference in the game right now is third down.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kentucky State's 5-7 right now. Here it is, third down and nine. And here comes the snap, St. G, and he's going to go sweep play to Sylvie, and he's going to be pushed to the outside, avoids a tackle, but is still going to be dropped for a loss of about 3 yards, so the Rock defense does step up.
And it came from the outside. Tristan McDonald was able to stay toe-for-toe with Sylvie and was able to track him down. He may not be the guy that gets sole credit for the tackle, but he was the one that initiated that, and the Rock are able to come down with a big third-down stop.
So the Rock going to get the ball back at the two-minute mark as the clock turns, and Kentucky State will be punting. But this is an opportunity to get decent field position out of this scenario. Your defense has stepped up now. The offense needs to respond. They've got to get something on the board before halftime. And back deep for the Rock at his own 34-yard line is number 19. And that being Eric Glover Williams, and he scoops it up inside his 35, waits, hesitates, and goes. And he's hit across the 35 at about the 38-yard line. Looked like he had a head of steam going there, and a nice return by Eric Glover Williams.
Yeah, nice speed as we have a Kentucky State thoroughbred down on the field. It looks like it's Dakota Waldridge. And he got down there early. But like you said, made the first guy miss and then ran north or south or whatever. North and south, you know what I'm talking about. Ran up the field, Bob, and that's what you like to see. You don't want to dance around and try to bounce things around. You want to see that daylight, take advantage of it, and then just run up the field.
So the Rock going to start out at their own 38-yard line. They've got a minute 29 before halftime, and they're trailing here 28-7. Coming up at halftime, we'll be visiting with two of the co-captains of this Rock football team, that being offensive lineman Steve Gaviglia and Tavares Sample on the defensive side of the ball. And they'll be the profiles today for this Rock halftime. Some other scores that occurred, they had some Thursday games this week. And IUP, number 4 ranked in the nation, came out strong, winning over number 15 ranked Ashland, 21-17. As Lenny Williams threw for 3 touchdown passes in that game for IUP. California lost at Ohio Dominican by 5, 28-23. They have a new quarterback down in Cal, the freshman. Pretty impressive day for him. I think he had 3 or 4 touchdown passes. Also, Southern Connecticut State knocked off Gannon at Gannon, 37-35. Westchester all over Bentley, 44-6. Fair State all over East Stroudsburg, 49-17. Pace at Millersville winning 23-10, and that's a team we'll see in a couple of weeks. Millersville had a great year last year, a nice bounce-back year for the Marauders, and that's got to be a shocking loss
now
for
you
them.
You said new head coach out of Millersville?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, here we go. Minute 29, first and 10. Andrew Kester in the backfield. And it'll be a play action fake to Wes Hills. He looks downfield, throws downfield, has a man wide open, and it's caught by Dakota Clannigan. First down into Kentucky State territory, and the drive is underway. So they start at the 38. They get to the Kentucky State 30.
I want to see vintage Rock right now. Hand it off to Wes Hills right up the gut. We saw this time and time again with Rock offenses. Big play, boom, handoff right up the middle.
Here's the snap. Kester and he's going to keep it. Now he'll pitch it out to Wes Hills. Perfectly timed. He'll run out of bounds after getting the first down. A gain of 32, now a gain of 10.
Like the call, different look. You know, you send Kester, Wes Hills out, and a good timing, as you mentioned, by Andrew Kester to wait for that defense to commit to him, and a little flip to the big guy, Wes Hills, gets to the outside. Nice pickup of 9.
Yeah, he didn't quite get to that first down marker when he went out. So it'll be 2nd and 1. After the 9-yard carry, ball down to the 21-yard line. And here's a handoff inside. Hills darts to the outside, kicks it. He's got the first down, shoved out of bounds at about the 10-yard line.
You see the legs moving all the time with Wes Hills. Even when he gets that first wave of contact, continues to churn, and he's able to make that extra 2 to 3 yards every play.
1st and 10. Just outside of the 10-yard line. From the looks of it, did they spot it right at the 10, or is it just shy?
Looks like it's at the 10.
Okay, so it'll be 1st and goal then. Here's the high snap. Kester pulls it down. He's looking for the end zone. Has time. Now he's going to throw it out of bounds.
Smart play.
So on the incompletion, it'll be 2nd and goal. The Rock must get something out of this. They're down 28-7. You've got 37 seconds to halftime.
They need 7 points. You're at the 10-yard line. Of course, a field goal would be great. Not great. Field goal is points. You need to get into the end zone. You've been close before. I mean, really, this game should be 28-14 with The Rock trying to get 21, but a fumble at the 1-yard line reversed that, and so that's why we're looking at 28-7. You have to have the ability to get it into the end zone.
Tight end A.J. Alexander comes out and is replaced in the slot by Dakota Clannigan. Also, Carnell Harley comes in for Henry Litwin. Here's a pitch to the outside. Wes Hills has running room. He's going to put it into the end zone. His first touchdown as a member of the green and white. Wes Hills, 10-yard touchdown run.
You had an over-eager Kentucky State defender on the snap to Andrew Kester. He comes in too hot from the outside linebacker position and forgot about number 4, who was able then to have a lot of room to run. Granted, there was some contact right near the goal line, but a lapse mentally by Kentucky State gave Wes Hills plenty of room to run, and so the Rock are on the board.
So, finally, they get it back into the end zone. 10-yard carry for Wes Hills. Cuts the lead to 28-13. Extra point try to come. Out of the hold of Mike Merhot. Jake Chepla, the left-footed kicker. Number 99. Here's the snap. It looks, wild, but nice job
nice
by Merhot.
Merhot, yeah.
He pulled that back around from his backside to get it down for Jake Chapla's extra point, which is good. And it's 28-14 with just about 30 seconds remaining. And let's take a quick 30-second timeout. We'll come back for the kickoff in a moment. You're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station 97.7.
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, Corks Lane, just behind the Butler Farm Show Grounds. The official supplier of coffee for the Butler Radio Network stations is more than bottled water. They can install water purification systems. They can service your RainSoft water softener or install a new RainSoft unit. They can supply your home, your office, or place of business with water units. They're a one-stop shop. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service, with excellent customer service and an array of coffee to choose from for your Keurig coffee makers. They can even supply you with the Keurig or the new Sun Canna units. Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service. Call them today.
We're back here at Slippery Rock University's Mahalik Thompson Stadium. The Rock getting onto the scoreboard here after a 5-play drive of 62 yards. And it took just under a minute to give The Rock an opportunity to cut the lead in half now. 28-14, the Thoroughbreds of Kentucky. Will recap the scoring coming up prior to getting into our halftime here. And again, a visit with a couple of the Rock players, both our seniors this year. That being Tavares Sample and Steve Gaviglia. Steve coming from Slippery Rock, or to Slippery Rock University from Seneca Valley, the redshirt senior. While Tavares Sample coming out of Dover, Delaware. Here's the boot from Jake Chaplis. There's a squibber, kicks downfield and takes a high hop, is touched and then scooped by the return man trying to get a number on him. It was not
like
Sylvie.
Demetrius Porter or Michael Nero? Or number 28? 22.
Justin Cromer, I think. Huh? Is that 22?
I thought it was 28, which there isn't a 28 on the roster. So, Bob,
well,
you know, we'll go with you.
We'll say that guy, Justin Cromer, had it then. And hope it was him. As the ball was returned out to the 23-yard line, that's where Kentucky State will take over and have 22 seconds. I'm sure they're going to take a knee and just be happy to get to the end of the locker room with a nice halftime lead. And it is St. Guy's going to go into victory formation here and just take a knee, and that will be the first half. So we'll come back and recap the scoring, but Kentucky State going to go into the locker room here by a two-touchdown lead of 28-14 over Slippery Rock. So things not going the way the Rock wanted it to start. In fact, ironically, it's almost like
last year.
It's just the reverse factor here. The Rock jumping out to a 28-0 lead against Kentucky State on their way to a 42-21 victory. We'll be back to recap halftime stats and visit with some of the players coming up in a moment here when we return to Rock football in a moment here on The Rock Station 97.7.
Hey, Ken Frenchak here from the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City. Seems like summer has rushed through, and now it's time to enjoy football on the weekends. So remember, it's time to make sure that your car is clean and ready for the highway. So stop in and choose which wash you want, and remember, our night owl specials start at 10 p.m. That's when you can save $2 off our ultimate wash. We're locally owned and nationally known. We're the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City.
The Sunday of Labor Day weekend. Come out for a day-long celebration of family, friendship, peace, and music. It's the annual Corbri Woodstock in Gibsonia. Begins at 11, runs to 11. It'll feature music from the Needs Hotel Band, the Stevie Wellens Band, the Shiners, the Tina Daniels Band, Doug Edgel, the Matt Barati Band, Mixus Brothers Mojo, and more. $20 advance online sales tickets only. Kids 12 and under are free. It's part of the Rock Done Right Tour, presented by The Rock Station 97.7 and Shady Lady Productions. Food and soft drink concession will be there, specialty burgers, sandwiches, and more, and cold brew. Corbri Woodstock, Corbri Wood Lane in Gibsonia on Sunday, Labor Day weekend, September 2nd. For more information, go to CorbriWoodstock.com.
Well, we're back here at halftime as the Slippery Rock University Marching Band will be taking the field and performing for the home fans here today at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. 28-14 at halftime. Let's recap the scoring here as it was all Kentucky State out of the gate, and the bottom line was some missed tackles leading to very big plays and then two turnovers. One of those, Kentucky State turned into pay dirt, a touchdown. The other basically took a touchdown away from Slippery Rock University. It all started at the opening drive. Three plays. It took Kentucky State to hit pay dirt for the first time this year. Brett Sylvie broke off a 75-yard run on a third down play. It was actually a third down and 10, and he broke it off for 75 yards and a touchdown to give Kentucky State the early lead. Then Slippery Rock would have a pass intercepted. Andrew Kester just looked like he slipped trying to throw the ball out of bounds. It was picked off by Zuriel Rudolph, and well, six plays later, Kentucky State took a 14-0 lead as Jules St. G broke off a 5-yard touchdown run. That was a scenario that had back-to-back big plays of 31-yard run that kind of set up that scenario. Of course, they started inside Rock territory after the interception. Slippery Rock would respond, though, coming back with their own three-play drive. A big pass play of 57 yards to Henry Litwin from Andrew Kester after an offside by Kentucky State gave the Rock a free play. A great read by Kester, and he hit Henry Litwin for the touchdown that cut the lead to 14-7, got the Rock back into the game. The teams would exchange punts, and then another big play by Jules St. G as he broke one off for 77 yards and set up a 5-yard touchdown run of his own. And that made it 21-7 in favor of Kentucky State as we opened up the second quarter. The Rock responded with a nice drive of seven plays, getting down to the goal line, but Andrew Kester, trying to get into the end zone, fumbled. And that took an opportunity to get back into the game away for the Rock. The teams would exchange punts, and then Brett Sylvie would cap a five-play drive for Kentucky State and a 1-yard touchdown run that would make it 28-7. Slippery Rock getting on the board late. A Wes Hills run of 10 yards, capping a five-play, 62-yard drive to cut the lead in half, 28-14. So Kentucky State looking like they're dominating the Rock right now, but it's been the Rock's own misfortune that really has created that.
And you're right, Bob. I mean, you look at a lot of the plays the Rock have made defensively on most offensive plays for Kentucky State. The Rock have been there, corralled the Sylvie or Sankey, and minimal to no gain. But the big plays have been killers, whether it's a run up the middle or runs to the outside. They just haven't been able to. Either it's a discipline thing, it's a tackling thing, no question, because we've seen the missed tackles. But, you know, is it schematic? Is it formations? Is it, you know, just a misread? Is it inexperience? I think there's going to be a lot that's going to have to go into the halftime adjustment just in terms of, okay, let's take a look at what happened. How do we make sure this doesn't happen again? And to me, it's focusing on tackling, focusing on getting back to the fundamentals, because as you mentioned, they've done a nice job of stopping the run up the middle. The pass obviously has not hurt them at all. They've been able to defend that very well. And so it's just been these big run plays. And so if they're able to keep Kentucky State in check here in the second half, which I do think is very doable, they're going to be right back in this game.
Right now, you look at Kentucky State, they've had 30 offensive plays for 257 yards. You take away those three big plays that went for 187 yards, the Rock has limited Kentucky State to 27 plays and 70 total yards.
That's what I mean. It's so bizarre. You normally don't see that. Okay, they make a big play. That happens one time again. But three big plays, it's almost mind-boggling that can happen all the time. Like, if you have that one big play, everyone goes, all right, let's not have that happen again. You know, make sure you're in your spot and do whatever. They've done it three times.
Andrew Kester is 7 of 14 with that interception, 154 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown, of course, going to Henry Litwin. Wes Hills making his debut in a Rock uniform. 11 carries for 50 yards. He has a touchdown. And the leading receiver right now being Henry Litwin via the big one catch for 57. Austin Scott has a catch for 47 yards. And Dakota Flanagan, a catch for 32 yards. So the Rock has had their share of big plays as well.
And they've all really been seam routes up the middle. I know the touchdown to Litwin was a route down the sideline. But for the most part, the Austin Scott, Dakota Flanagan plays have been up the middle for big yardage, but I still, Bob, would like to see the Rock get back to those slant routes, the five and outs, the timing patterns that makes this offense work, in my opinion, because when you're able to hit on those, that makes the front seven more disciplined in terms of they're not going to sell out on the run. That front seven is willing to sell out on the run if you're just going to run streak patterns over the top, because I think Kentucky State is willing to risk one-on-one coverage and see if Kester and the wide receivers can make the play. But if you're keeping them honest with even screen passes or plays up the middle for 5 to 10 yards, I think that's going to allow Wes Hills to run the ball a little bit more, and he'll have more area to get through that offensive line.
Kentucky State 5 of 8 on third down conversions so far. The Rock just 1 of 5. Good first half for Dylan Whiteman. He's had 4 tackles, 3 of those for a loss. So it's been an impressive start for him. But the Rock trails it 28-14 at the half. We'll take a break and come back with Tavares Sample and Steve Gaviglia, our halftime profiles here of two of the Rock players. Coming up next from Mahalik Thompson Stadium, you're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station 97.7.
The law offices of Dillon, McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham offer a comprehensive range of services in civil law, litigation, corporate, labor, real estate, zoning and land use, personal injury, and municipal and school law. They carry a passion for being at the top of their fields and continuously striving to provide their clients with exemplary service. With offices in Butler and Cranberry, Dillon, McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham can meet all your legal needs. Call them at 724-283-2200.
Count on Slippery Rock True Value to help you maintain your home's curb appeal. Today, a 4.75 gallon bucket of Blackjack Drive Coat 500 filler and sealer is just $19.99. This filler and sealer is specially designed to keep your driveway looking its best by improving its surface appearance. For added durability, it's enhanced with latex and sand particles to help fill in small surface cracks. Your tires will thank you. Head over to Slippery Rock True Value for this